Good morning. Buenos dias. Welcome, everyone. Bienvenidos. We'll do Spanish tonight. I heard this, and I think it's true, that God created the whole universe. And then he created the Hispanic people. And the Hispanic people created Mexican food. And so they're going to be bringing it in tonight, and we're going to have a wonderful time. This is an answer to prayer. There was a time that we began to put in our prayer list to pray for our Hispanic community that God has given us, and that we would see an increase, and that's beginning to happen. And we're so thankful. And so we're having a good time tonight. It's not, like you say, just a service, but a service would be great. But it's a time of fellowship. It's a Spanish fellowship. It's a time of singing and worshiping the Lord. Brother Mark's going to be sharing. Cynthia's going to be singing. And we're going to be eating. And so what else can you have? You know, it's on the sign out there. The last time we tried the sign, I made a mistake. And instead of putting fiesta, I put siesta. And so I changed that real quick. And thank you, William, for coming to my rescue and doing that. But it's good to be here this morning. It's a day, it's a time to rejoice in the Lord. It's a time to have expectation, which means hope for all that God is doing in our lives and what he's going to do. And Brother Randall was saying it was his anniversary. Well, tomorrow is my anniversary.
Hallelujah.
Now, not Charlotte and me. We'll have that. We have one every day. But we'll have that in September. But this is April the 27th is tomorrow, I believe, and that was the day that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at 6 years of age, and he's been filling it up ever since. And even when I tried to go another way as a teenager, well, the Holy Spirit conviction was there because I'd been saturated with the Holy Spirit, and he would not let me. It's what I call the Holy Ghost miserables. He would not let me go in the wrong direction. He pulled me back. And I hope he's doing that to you this morning as well. Also, in 1974, on April the 27th, I went to Cofield Prison for the first time. And that was when I was able to hear from the Lord through a major sitting over there. I was so touched by what I saw in the visitor's room of those men leaving their wife or mother and the children and going back to their cells. And 2 hours there, I not only visited the brother Bobby that I went to see, but I was watching everyone else. And I, without any known protocol, I just walked into the warden's office without an appointment. And I said, I got to help these men. And he looked at me and he said, "Preacher, don't worry about that." Said, "State pays a preacher." He pays a preacher. The state pays a preacher to do all that stuff. And that could have been the end of it. But there was a major sitting in the corner in a chair. And he said, "Preacher, if you really want to help them when they get out." And all the way home, the Holy Spirit picked that up. Every tire that went around said, "Help them when they get out." And I tried to go to sleep, and all I could see was white uniforms and "help them when they get out." That was how many years ago? Let's figure it up. 74. 41? 31? 41. 41 years ago. Wow. That's good. Amen. So it'll be great tomorrow. Last Sunday I preached on levels, and I talked about how that men especially want to wait till the next day to get their gas or the next station, and they end up running out, and their wife kind of looks at them, you know. Charlotte's never really said that to me. She doesn't say, "I told you so." But anyway, I know that's what she might be thinking, and so I try to stay full. And plus, like I said, it's not good to run it on low because you get all that junk in the bottom of your tank, and it goes into your motor, and it's not good for the flow. And so we talked about that. But basically, I talked about being filled with the Spirit and continuing to be filled. It's not a one-time experience. Someone was baptized in the Holy Spirit and said, "Well, I got that. That's it. like a spiritual status symbol. No, it's just on the journey towards being filled with the Spirit. And then we talked about that it will produce fruit. And we talked about that various fruit that we need to, the Bible says to be filled with praise, and we've been doing that. It even says to be filled with laughter and singing. He wants a joyful thing. He wants a joyful thing. We need to have joy in our hearts before the world around us so they'll want what we have. If you go up to somebody, would you like to hear about the Lord? They say, no, I got troubles of my own. My dad told a story about a barber. Now, some of you all don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But used to, the barbers had a big, long strap. And they would take their razors and they'd go up and down this strap to get it sharp. So this barber had a man in his chair and he lathered him up real good, you know. I use pre-electric and electric razor, but I know something about that. You know, he lathered up real good. And he thought, I've got to talk to this man about his soul. He said, I've got to talk to him. What should I say? And he just kept doing it. Finally, he brought his knife up. The man had leather on his face. He said, are you ready to die? And the man jumped out of his chair and ran out of the thing. Thought he was going to kill him right there, you know. That's not too good. We need to be filled with the fullness of God. We need to be filled with the fruits of righteousness. We need to be filled with the knowledge of His will. We need to be filled with joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit, that we were a joyful people. Jesus first, others second, yourself last, filled with the Holy Spirit. This morning I'm going to kind of continue in that vein of thought. I'm going to be talking about chosen to bear fruit, that we have been chosen to bear fruit. This morning I'm going to be speaking to you this morning, if you've never known the Lord, but in some way that you were urged to come here today, and the Holy Spirit did that. He's guiding you into a fellowship of believers to hear the Word of God. And that I'll be speaking to you, that I want you to come to know Jesus. I want you to find true salvation, not religion. Religion is out there somewhere. But salvation is God with us and in us. It's not about Him. It is in Him. He is in us and we are in Him. And so I'm going to preach to you today about salvation, that hopefully by the end of the service that you will be receiving from the Holy Spirit a need to find true repentance and say, I want to belong to Jesus. I want my life to belong to Jesus. And so I'm going to do that. You see, I want to do that because I'm told to do that. It's a stewardship that I have before the Lord that says that I have to allow people to know that there is danger in rejecting the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, when I say to the wicked, you say, oh, I'm not wicked, I'm a pretty good old guy. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth righteousness, no, not one. Only through Christ Jesus can we not be wicked. It says, when I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way. To save his life, the same wicked man will die in his iniquity, separated from God. But his blood will I require at your hand. This is Joe's hand. So if I don't preach the truth, then God's going to call me responsible. He says, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And so a preacher, all of us, as people that are persuading, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men that we have to, or their blood will be on our hands. Think about it. So we recognize that we're speaking to the lost as well as the saved. Now, the message will also be to the believers. And who is a believer? You say, well, I believe in God. Belief, true belief, is trusting in and relying upon the Lord. Amen. It is not just saying a prayer. You can say those prayers. you can come next week. I don't think David would allow you to do that because he's going to tell you what baptism really is. But you can go down and get wet and not anything happen in your life. But baptism is after salvation. It's repent and be baptized. And so we recognize that, but it's not just having baptism. It's not doing anything religious. It's not going to church. It's not going to mass. It's not repeating a citation or recitation or anything like that. It is being able to believe in the Lord, to trust Him, to just fall back in His arms and say, God, I have faith in You. I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust in You. It's trusting in the Lord. That's what salvation is. And it accompanied by repentance, where that you are sorry for your sins and you turn away from them and you turn towards God and you walk in the light instead of walking in darkness. And so we're going to be speaking to all of us this morning that we are that which is to bear fruit. Acts 9:15, Ananias has been told by the Lord to go to this man named Saul. And he says, but I've heard of this man, how that he has persecuted the church, and he's held the coats of as they stoned Stephen. And you want me to go to him? I'm afraid. He says, fear not. He is a chosen vessel of mine. And so Paul had been changed. Saul had been changed. Even his name later changed to Paul. And so we want to know that we're chosen vessels and we're chosen to bear fruit. I'll be using John 15 as a text this morning, and this has been in my heart all week. And it talks about how to be filled and how to stay filled by abiding in the vine. I want us to read the first eight verses of John 15 slowly, and I want you to be able to grasp this word. Let it just penetrate. These are not my words. They're Jesus' words. There's words in the Bible that was Paul or Peter, Timothy. But this is the words of Jesus. And he says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Some version says husbandman. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Say, ouch. That it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Say, much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Say that. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, I can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, say if. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So you will be my disciples. That's speaking to sought out. So you will be my disciples. It says abide in me. Abide, that's a word, a Greek word, meno. It means to stay in a given place, in a state, in a relationship, in an expectancy, in hope. It means to continue. It means to dwell. To dwell. It's not just living, it's dwelling. It's time of enduring. It's to be present. It's to remain. It's to stand firm. It's to tarry. It's abiding. And that was kind of where the disciples went after the resurrection and the ascension, to tarry in Jerusalem until they be endued And so they had to abide there together and together with him. He says, I am the true vine. That's all he had to say. That's what they said, who is Jesus? And he said, I am he. And the soldiers fell to the ground. Just the word, I am. The same thing that happened to Moses is Exodus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. He said, I am the God of your father. Chapter 3, verse 13. Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Yo soy. I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. So Jesus that day, John 15, perhaps after the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, he shares this to these disciples, and he says, I am the true vine. The I am of God, he said, I am. I am. I'm the Jesus that has walked with you. I'm the Jesus that has instructed you. I am, but I am. I am the not only... not only am I man, but I am God, and I have walked with you. Not only the Son of God, but God himself. God the Son. The true vine. The Son of God. It's an example of the humility of Christ. He said, I'm a vine. I'm a vine. Anybody ever worked around vines? How they grow? How they, you put them on a wall and they just come over, and even if it's in your house and you have that little plant, you know, and all of a sudden it just gets big and it falls over on it. He said, I'm a vine, just a little thin plant. I am a vine. This was an example of his humility, that he spoke of being God, but being low and humble in a comparison. You see, he created this world and even created the tree that one day would become his cross. And yet here he has said, I'm a little vine. He says that I am not only the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, I'm the Son, S-O-N, of God. He compares himself to a vine. He says, I am God, but let me tell you that I'm servant of all. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 8, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He says, I am the true vine. I'm a little vine. But you see, a vine is planted in a vineyard. And that vine and vineyard, it's the same word. It's a vine in a vineyard. And you have to put, if you were doing grapes, you'd put up some kind of wooden frame where that they could grow up and fall over. By the way, what does a grapevine produce? Grapes. What does a Christian produce? Christ-likeness. It produces other Christians through its ministry. Here is Jesus saying, I'm a vine. And I tell you, he was planted in the earth. And he was the Word that was made flesh. And he came to us. This vine, as I said, it grows. If it's healthy, it grows. It's a spreading plant. That runs. We call it, it runs. It runs everywhere. It's a vine. You see, Christ is known as bringing salvation to the ends of the earth. And so it goes forth. And as a vine, it touches every culture, every language group, every people's group, every nation. And we've been told our commission is to go and make disciples of all nations. And if you can just visualize that vine just spreading out all over this world and through us, through Christ in us, the calling in us. In the early 1900s, the revival at Azusa Street in California, it began to be a missionary movement. They actually would be baptized in the Holy Spirit and get on a boat. 3 months later, they'd be on some foreign field somewhere because there was just something in them that says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And they took it very literally that they were to go into all the world. And you see that vine just spreading and being planted and moving and going on and producing fruit wherever it goes. You see, Christ is the vine, and he's the root of the vine as well. It's from the root that bears the tree. We don't see a root. Our life is hid with Christ. But the root bears the tree, and it comes up. And Jesus, the vine, the true vine, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. If you're wondering this morning, can I really believe in this? By faith, accept that Jesus is the way. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Not physical death, but eternal death, which means separation from God in a place called hell. And that's where people go that reject the message of salvation, the message of the gospel. And it says that he is the root. He is the life. And he is the way, the road, the truth, the life. He is life, and he gives life as the true vine, and gives life to us. So are we abiding in him? Are we able this morning to say we're connected to the vine, to the head, plant? He says, I will give you life. You familiar with the term life support? When we hear that they're now on life support, we begin to get worried, because that means that it could just be unplugged. Hopefully, once it's unplugged, that the person will begin to breathe on their own. But I want to tell you, Jesus is our life support. And if you are in him, and he is in you, and you're abiding in the vine, you're abiding in him, then if we saw an instrument, Robert can tell us about this, we saw an instrument that would show our heartbeat, it would be something like this. It wouldn't be a straight line that it said, they're gone. It would be, and I tell you, that's who we need to be. We need to be on his life support. Amen. He is our life support. We must be connected if we're going to be able to bear fruit, if we're going to be able to keep breathing the very breath of life of God. He says that he is the vine, and we are the branches. The branches go out of that vine, and they all are there going back to the vine. It says the branches are many, and one root, one vine, many branches. We are the branches. The Father is the vine dresser. He is the divine gardener. And Jesus is saying that, and we recognize that it's God that gives the energy. It's God that gives the life. And 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 through 8, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. He's our source. He is our life. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. So we're connected. We're connected by abiding in the vine. We're connected to the very source of life. He is our life support. And then he moves into warnings. He says, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. And pruning is cutting that away so that the whatever, the sap or whatever will go and strengthen. And a few years ago, well, we planted these myrtle trees alongside the road going into Calvary Commission. And they have been there ever since, and we've pruned them a little bit. And someone said, no, you need to cut them all the way back. And I tell you, it was a shocking thing. People were on the internet, everything. They said, it's not myrtles, it's murders, and you're going to murder those trees. And through the winter, well, they just look like a bunch of stubs there, you know. And all of a sudden, someone posted on the internet one little sprout that had come up. They said, there is hope at Calvary Commission, you know, that there is hope. And it began to flow. And that next spring, that next fall, beautiful, beautiful myrtle leaves and flowers, myrtles coming up. And because they had to be cut back, and it's a pruning. It says here that every branch that bears, he prunes. If we bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. There is never a satisfaction. You say, well, I'm saved and baptized and satisfied. No, you cannot be satisfied, because we always need more. We started out this morning, didn't we? More love. And we need that constant growth in our lives. And that's how that we become more and more his disciples. And he cuts these things away that we may bear more fruit. I was in my 20s and a lot of problems in my life, a lot of things I was going through, difficulties in business, all of these things. And I was, one of my friends said, I hope I learn from you so I don't have to learn myself what you're going through, because you're under a trial, you're under attack, and so on. Then I remember when a word came forth after worship, similar to what Jimmy felt the need to do and Robert felt the need to do this morning. And the word was, the breaking has come, and now I can bless you. And I accepted that as God breaking and pruning and doing those things. And I look back now, and he was preparing me for the work that was ahead. You see, after that time of hearing that voice, help them when they get out, well, then there was a process that I went through. I had stores and restaurants, had one up the street here. And in 5 weeks, I had 5 robberies. They even robbed my house. They even stole my guns. I never got them back. They stole my guns. They stole Charlotte's wig. They stole my white shoes. They stole our goat in the backyard. Barbecue, I guess. I don't know. And then the news would come on. And it would, every time, the newspaper, the television, it would, and the enemy would say, you sure you want to work with these people? You sure you're going to bring them in? You sure you're going to put the rest of your life into that vision? You see, and that was that testing that goes on. The trial of our faith produces fruit. And so we did obey the Lord, and the breaking did come, and he has blessed, and he's going to bless. He's continuing to bless. It's his vision. It's his ministry. It's his church. Say it right now. This is God's church. This is the church of Jesus Christ. And it's not ours. It's his. And so we are here to be part of his church. He says, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So whatever trial comes our way, we know the promise is there that we are going to make it. We're going to go forth, and we're going to be able to see the Lord in that. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not going to be easy or fun for a while, but the end is going to be there. When I went to Romania in 1990, well, I had learned a little bit of the language, and every church we went into, these were people that had suffered persecution under a communist rule for 45 years. Every church, there'd be a scripture on the wall. And so I would look at it, and I would look in my Romanian Bible, and I would translate it, and everyone had something to do with suffering. And yet, not just suffering, but that you'd be gold when you came through it. And what we found was a church on fire, ready to accept the freedom. In fact, they said that the whole revolution was a spiritual revolution, really. It started when a group of members, when they came for their pastor and they were going to take him away, they called it, he would disappear, which means killing him. He would disappear. They came, they said, your pastor has got to come with us. And the members stood out there and said, no, you can't get past us. Would you do that? Anyway. And so it started a revolution. They thought, well, we'll just kill a bunch of people. By 2 or 3 days later, there was 10,000 on the streets of downtown Timișoara, Romania. And it was a spiritual revolution. They were praying. They were going with the microphone, and they were praying. They were singing the song, Yel Vine Ya, which means he's coming soon. They were singing. And finally, an officer came up, the head of the military, and he said, the army is with you. And so at that point, everything switched. And when we went in, we went across East Germany 2 days after they took the guards away and on into Romania. And when we got there, and we were there at the border, my son Milton said, Dad, still a communist country. I had the video camera just like this, you know. And I've gotten in trouble before with cameras. And it was going just like this. He said, Dad, be careful. And the man came to the window. He said, who are you? What do you have? I said, we have our luggage. We have some medical supplies and 1,500 Bibles. He said, welcome to Romania. And I said, oh, we've learned some songs in Romanian. Can we sing them for you? Kimberly was there. And said, can we sing them for you? And we got out. And then he said, my grandma was Pentecostal. And said, come on in. And so we recognized that they had gone through the fire. But they were free. They were free and they accepted everything. We didn't have, there was no laws left. We could do anything we wanted to. Went downtown. We set up. We began to preach. We began to have dramas. And there was no laws. Nobody could do anything against us because it was free. And we just praise God for that. It was the fiery trial they had been through. Romans 5, 1 through 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations because he's pruning us. That's a process that we might bear more fruit. He says that we have through the glory, we have glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And that's what that continuing means. Perseverance, character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so we recognize that we get all of this. It's through tribulations. We get the hope that is there. We get the love of God. It's been poured out, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is given to us. So the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus says, as the branch, that's that going out this way and this way, cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I was thinking about this as I was coming this morning. And I thought about how that last thing I do at night before I get in bed is I plug my phone in. Now, it's gone all day on battery. But I know it needs to get to the real source, that electrical current, so that it'll be 100% when I wake up the next morning. And you see, that's why that we need to stay plugged in. You unplug it and you forget it. How many have forgotten it? Yeah. And all of a sudden, you know, I call you and it goes straight to voicemail because there is no contact there. You've run out of juice. You've run out of soap. You've run out of current. You've run out of electricity. You've run out of the source. It's no longer your own life support, you say. Well, you lost your life support. And he says that you have to abide in the vine. If you're going to bear fruit, you have to abide in the vine. Unless you abide in Jesus, you will not be bearing fruit. We've got to put ourselves every day constantly in his hands. We've got to stay connected. It's got to be vertical before it can be horizontal. I am the vine, he says. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We've got to be so committed to the Lord Jesus Christ that we're connected to him all the time, not disconnected, and we are abiding in him. How do you do that? Well, it's through loving him. It's for relating to him. It's by walking with him. It's by being able to, every day when we get up, say, Lord, I want to, first of all, before I do anything else, seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. All these other things will be added to me if I will seek you. So we've got to move into, out of that sleepiness, out of that feeding our flesh, which needs to be rested, into saying, now, Lord, I'm ready for you. I'm ready to receive you. I'm ready to walk with you. And it's like one guy testified, it's a little crude, but he said, before I got saved, I'd get up and say, good God, it's morning. He said, but I got saved, and it was good morning, God. You see, we have a new relationship. We have that connection that we have in our prayer time, in our time with the Word of God, in our meditation on the Word of God. We are abiding in the vine. We are connecting to the vine. We're saying, Lord, I need you. I need you in my life. I need you in my heart. I need you in my walk. I don't know what's ahead of me this day, but I'm putting it all in your hands. I'm trusting in you with all my heart, leaning not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm acknowledging you, and you're going to direct my path, and I'm going to walk with you. You see, it's that connection every morning with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's alive, folks, and we can be alive in him. And he says, without me, you can do nothing. So we have to have him. We have to walk with the Lord. So we've studied this morning, there's a time that there's no fruit. There's a time that there's some fruit. There's a time that there's more fruit. And there's time that there's much fruit. And he says that we're to have that much fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch. He's withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire. This is the bad news. And they are burned. You see, we have good news and bad news. The good news is that we can follow the Lord. We can have an inheritance. We can have an eternity in heaven. We can be with him. The bad news is this. If we do not abide in him, we're cast out as a branch because it withers up. And they gather them up and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. And so I ask you this morning, do you want to let the fire of God purify you and sanctify you? Or you want to get disconnected from the vine completely and burn in a place called hell? Hell is very real. It's a place for those that reject the message of the gospel and say, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do my own life. I don't need anything else. I can do it myself. I can do it myself. I can do it myself. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So that's where we need the constant infilling of the Spirit, constant infilling of the Word of God. You will ask what you desire, it shall be done for you. You see the consequences of disobedience and the rewards of obedience. Then he says, this by my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Don't you want to be able to say, I'm a disciple of the Lord? In Israel, they told us when we first went, the word Christian has been ruined. Don't use it. Just use believer. I'm a believer. You see, I'm a disciple of the Lord. I'm a believer in Jesus. I follow Jesus. If you were there, you'd say, I follow Yeshua. I follow Jesus. I follow the Lord. He says that then the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. So what's our part in this? Well, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. It's what I call the heartbreak of God. You know, there's rejoicing in heaven among the angels over one sinner that repents. So you see a God that is happy and rejoicing, but there's another part of God as he has emotions as well, and he sees, and he's grieved at sin. He's grieved at what Brother Robert was talking about that's happening in the court system about redefining marriage. He's grieved, and he's a heartbroken God. Here's what he says. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones and planted it with the choicest of vines. He built a tower in its midst. And we need those towers of protection. We need those people we're accountable to that's watching over our lives. He built a tower in its midst and also made a wine press in it. He expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard than I have not done in it? I'm sure that every parent that has raised children up to adulthood has had to say at some point, what more could I have done? They've had to probably shake their heads at times and say, I can't believe what I'm seeing. What more could I have done than I've done it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. So we talked about the vine. Jesus is the vine in his vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more on it. You know, our greatest prayer should be, God, don't give up on me. God, keep pouring it on because I need that correction. He who loves, he corrects. I need that ability, Lord, for you to explain to me how that you, please don't take away the tower. Don't take away that circle around me, Lord. Instead, give me a circle of a hedge around me, a hedge of thorns that will, every time I go in the wrong direction, it will poke me and I'll say, oops, I can't go there. I've got to turn around and go back. And I've got to, like the prodigal son, I've got to go back and say, I'm not worthy, but can I just be a slave to you? Break down its wall and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug. But shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. He looked for righteousness, behold, a cry for help. I see a heartbroken God that looks over that and says, what more could I have done? I see Jesus as he looks over Jerusalem. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you refuse, you would not. You see God's part and our part. He says, you would not. Going on in John 15, verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And so if we're going to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, we have to abide in him and in his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This connection that we have, that we need every day, every hour, pray without ceasing, that we need, it's got to include repentance. Because he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we have to have a spiritual inventory every morning. We have to be able to say every morning that we need to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me whole again. Lord, I turn away from the darkness. I come to the light, and I ask you, oh Lord, to bring about repentance in my life. It needs to be instantaneous and progressive, just like sanctification, that we come to him and we say, Lord, I want to be cleansed. We want to say, Lord, clean hands, a pure heart before you. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that you lay down your life for your friends. We don't just lay down our life for the Lord, we lay down our life for one another. We are there to live and to support each other as we are laying down our life for our friends. He says, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. I was reading this and I started singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Hallelujah. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So, salvation and a new birth comes. It gives us an intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. When we get up from our knees of repentance, when we said, Lord, save me, I perish. When we get up from our knees, we are clean by his word. We are connected to the vine, and we have a personal relationship with Jesus. Not religion that's just about him, but salvation that is through him and for him and in him. Then in verse 16, he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. He says, I chose you. You did not choose me. You did not choose me. I chose you. And one version, I believe it's King James original, says, and ordained you. Before anyone would ever go before a body of elders and they would say, I believe you're ready for ordination into the ministry or license to preach or credentials or whatever. Already, he says, I've ordained you. I've called you. I've appointed you. I have commissioned you that you are mine. And I want you. I need you. I love you. I choose you. You're to go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. I command you that you love one another. They will know that we're Christians by our love one for another. And so it's easy sometimes to have that connection with the Lord and to be able every morning to have a joyful time in the Word and so on. But what about when you're around someone that irritates you a little bit? You snap at them. You get in the flesh. See, we talked about the fruits of the Spirit last week. Well, the opposite of that is the works of the flesh. And if you look at that list, that's bad news. He commands us that we love one another. We are a community of people. We had as our theme for a couple of years, community. This year we're saying we're serving together. We're members one of another. And so what a church is, it's people becoming brothers and sisters to each other and being a community. And if one is hurt, well, the other one bleeds. Our dear sister Maria Garcia texted me last night and said that her daughter-in-law, Junior's wife, his name is Daniel, I believe, that they had a head-on collision, and that he was not injured, and that the child was not injured, but that she is in the hospital and she can't walk, and she's got her ribs broken and feet are messed up from, and plus the fact the guy that hit them ran off, and they're looking for him. You see, when we feel those things, that when one is cut, the other one. If our friend, if our brother, if our neighbor is cut, then we should be bleeding. We should be bleeding with them. We should be there. That's what it means to be members one of another, that we are there. When we are able to have this kind of love one for another, then our unity is perfected, and there is unity. And God pours out His blessing upon unity. It says it in Psalm 133, Behold, if you dwell together in unity, and the last verse says, I will pour out my blessing upon you. So we'll be blessed if we find that unity. You and I tying together. We are many branches, but we can meet together in the vine. Jesus is the vine. He's the center of our unity. Our brother, Elder Tim Miller, has a ministry, and he has a prayer initiative right now. And he's praying for unity of the churches of Tyler. And they're going to encircle every church that will give them permission and pray as they walk around the church that that would be God's place and that His presence would be there and there would be unity among us. You see, if we are those different ones, we're connected with the vine, but we get back, we are connected at Jesus, the vine. And if they're preaching Jesus and they're preaching the message of the gospel, regardless of the name on the church, then we are brothers and sisters with them. And we need to have that unity there. We're weak and insufficient if we stand by ourselves, but as the body of Christ, we can make a difference in this world. My dear friend, Brother Ravenhill, said that the poverty of the pulpit is what is the problem with the world. Well, we must preach, and we must be able to reach out as the body of Christ and be the light in a dark place and serve a great purpose. We need to be salt on the earth. And what's there will be a remnant that is going to serve the Lord and not going to go along and not say yes to all the corruption, not say yes to all of the evil and not compromise and weaken the gospel and try to please everybody, but preach the word. We're told to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, rebuke, correct, encourage also. But we must be that. And as we are the body of Christ, we will see that happening. We said at the very beginning of this church, it's called hope. But with hope, we must have holiness. It's hope and holiness. Hope does not mean anything goes, that we're going to just pat people on the back and say it's okay, everybody sins, that we're going to preach the truth, and we're going to expect changed lives to come from that. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Abiding in His love is through obedience. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hannah, you going to come? Davion, you're here. Good. That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy. That which remains in us. That we love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you. You're a chosen vessel, that you'd be a fruit bearer, that you would have good fruit in your life, that your fruit would remain, that you would not be quarter of a tank or empty or half a tank, but you'd be full, that your fruit would remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. This morning, I'm going to invite you to the vine, Jesus. You see, you're either in the vine or you're not. If anyone does not abide in me, verse 6 says, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. So do you want to be burned or do you want your heart to burn for what breaks God's heart? Are you called this morning to be an intercessor? Then hear the voice of the Lord. Hear Him say, what more could I have done? Hear Him say, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Or He said, oh, Joe, Joe. What more could I have done? I wanted to do this, but you refused. I wanted to do this, but you pulled away. I wanted to do this, but you got discouraged and went your own way and not my way. Jesus, are you chosen to bear fruit? Scripture says we are. How are your levels today? Is it no fruit? Or is it a little more fruit? Or is it much fruit? Is it more love? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. How do you respond? Yes, the Scripture says if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. But verse 15 says that we no longer serve ourselves, but the one who died and rose again. And that's Jesus. That's the one that died and rose again. Are you serving yourself or are you serving Jesus? We need to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. You fulfill the commandments when you do that, Jesus said. So we recognize today that we're in need of repair. We're in need of getting in the assembly line and letting God make us into that new vessel, that new man, that new woman, that new boy, that new girl. And that comes through salvation, true salvation. Brother Tommy and I were talking about the prison unit he was in that I used to visit back in the late 70s. And that chaplain just would not in any way let me in. Came the day that finally, because they fasted and prayed for their chaplain, he stood up and he said, I've been ordained minister, a chaplain all these years, but I have to confess that I was never really saved. I did all the right acts, but I was never saved. But I want to tell you that I have given my life to Jesus, and I profess to you inmates today that I'm now a believer, and I'm now experiencing salvation. Maybe there's people here today that you think that, but Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'll give rest to your souls. I'll give rest to your souls. So we're going to open the altar as he sings. And first of all, I want to say, if you are here today, I warn you, if you're here today, and you have to say, I'm not ready for heaven. I've not obtained salvation. I need to come to the altar. I'm just going to ask you to come right now. Everybody stand. I'm going to ask you to come right now and meet me right here at the altar. Because if you won't do it in front of people, then you can't do it before the Lord. We're going to pause a minute. Pray, saints, pray. If you feel like that, You can't do it by yourself, well, tell the person beside you, would you walk up here with me? Lord Jesus, we pray this morning, God. Lord, I cry out to you today, Lord. I say, Holy Spirit, move in this place, God. Lord, we want to fulfill our name today, Lord. We want to be able to fulfill our name today. It's hope. And God, we want to offer people hope today. Do not leave this place without Jesus. God knows your heart. I don't. I have to give you an opportunity this morning.
May your words be sweeter.
Lord Jesus, we pray.
Than all we pray today, the others.
If you're holding back, it's because there's an enemy whispering in your ear, don't do it, don't do it. But you'll never regret. I've never met a person in life that has regretted giving their life to the Lord. Jesus. One of the prayer team members come and help you up here.
So
deep in you, keep me abiding.
Oh, keep me abiding. Keep me abiding so that I.
Thank you.
Oh, that I.
Brother Robert.
Bear fruit.
Yes, Lord. Jesus, hallelujah. get ready. You can say, my levels are weak this morning, but I want to abide in the vine. I need to make a trip to this altar today. I need to pour out my heart before the Lord and say, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. It's open to everybody. Come on. Jesus. These people can be truly born again if they call upon the Lord. He says, call upon the Lord. Whosoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. Pour out your heart before Him. Confess your sins. Repent. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be God.
May your light shine brighter. And may your love move deeper.
Oh, Jesus.
Than all the others, my God. Than all the others,
He says, I chose. Now He says, you choose.
And please keep my eyes fixed on you. Please root my heart so deep in you. Keep me abiding. Oh, keep me abiding.
It's time to seek the Lord, folks.
Keep
you can't come to the altar. Do it there. Do it there. Say, Lord, I want to be in the vine. The true vine. The true vine.
Please keep.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus, fix.
Oh, God, we can follow you. I want to be a follower of Jesus today. I want to walk with
you.
Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Change me, Lord. Sanctify me. Set me apart from sin. Apart unto you, oh God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Oh, God. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. If you give your life to the Lord, you need to be in David's baptism class. We baptize people that have repented of their sins. That have said, I want to serve Jesus. I want before the whole body of Christ to say, I'm a believer now. I'm a believer now. Jesus,
my heart.
Thank you, Lord.
So deep in you.
Anyone sick in their body this morning, you want prayer? Scripture says if there be anyone among you that is afflicted or sick, let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise them up. Brother Don, Brother James, would you come and help me up here? Pray for these people.
And please keep my heart so deep in you. Keep me abiding. Keep me abiding. Keep me abiding.
Anybody else want prayer for their body this morning? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Brother James, pray for her. This is one of our dear sisters. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pray for divine health in all of us. Live in a germ-filled world. Not German, but germ-filled world. Divine defense.
May your presence be
praise
near.
God. Just stretch your hand this way towards people that are receiving right now.
May your presence be true. Than all the others. Than all the others. May your light shine brighter. And may your love move deeper. Than all the others, my God, than all.
Jesus. My heart so deep.
Fellowship with you, Lord.
You.
Friendship
keep
with you.
Me
fellowship
abiding.
Divine.
And yes, oh, God. Keep me yes, abiding. God. Keep me abiding that I, oh, that I would bear fruit. Please keep my eyes fixed on you. And please root my heart so deep in you. Keep me abiding. Oh, keep me abiding. Keep me abiding so that I
praise you, God.
Please keep my eyes fixed on you. Please root my heart so deep in you. Keep me abiding. Oh, keep me abiding. Keep me abiding so that I know that I
what a song.
Bear fruit.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. 6 o'clock tonight. Everyone's welcome to come. Be in Spanish. Make it translate a little bit of it. Fellowship together as we go. Get some more coffee. Stretch your hands this way. We're going to give you a blessing. All of you. Those here at the altars as well. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Oye Israel, Jehová nuestro Dios, Jehová uno es, y amarás a Jehová tu Dios. De todo tu corazón y de toda tu alma y con todas las fuerzas. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de misericordia. Y tenga su paz. Lord, bless you as you go this day. Go and find that need and meet it. Take the word of God that has been preached today and digest it, just like you do a meal. Digest it into your whole